For the message last week was verse number 20. So just remember, we're on Paul's third missionary journey, and on his second journey, he came through Ephesus very briefly, but now on his third journey, he comes back and he spends some time there. And if you recall, when we were looking earlier on, that the ministry, how long was the teaching ministry of Paul in the city of Ephesus? Does anybody remember the time period that he spent there? It was 2 to 3 years. So he spent between 2 and 3 years in Ephesus teaching. He started teaching in the synagogue, and then he ended up teaching in the school of Tyrannus. And we'll continue later on this morning looking at more of what takes place in Ephesus. But after all the things that began to take place, we saw that this climactic verse, verse number 20 of Acts chapter 19. So Acts 19, verse 20, the Bible says, "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. We talked about the fact that Paul's ministry was a word-based ministry. All of the healing and the fellowship and all of these other wonderful good things that took place were second place to the ministry of teaching the word of God. And so the theme of the message was allowing the word of God to work mightily in our lives, right? And relying on it, depending on it. So, I'm not going to say much more about the book of Acts, but I do want to go deeper, because that's our class, we go deeper in the topic. I do want to go deeper into this idea of growing in the Word of God. Growing in the Word of God. So notice on the bottom of your handout, I just pulled 3 select passages from throughout the Bible. I took 3 of them, and you can find this over and over again. In fact, there's one psalm that speaks continually about the Word of God. Does anybody know which psalm it is that over and over and over and over again brings us back? What's that? Psalm 119, which also, for those who may be newer to Bible study, Psalm 119 also has what unique distinction? It's the longest chapter in all of the Bible. Many a person has, their Bible reading has been foiled when they get to Psalm 119. If they made it through Leviticus, then Psalm 119. But no, truly, Psalm 119 is a really powerful passage of Scripture that keeps bringing us back to the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. And truly, Christians need to be increasingly known as people of the book. Do you believe that? It's vital that, and we're seeing many, many more churches be more feeling-oriented and experience-oriented and not emphasizing the simple, straightforward teaching of the Word of God. I hear you can. There's a lot of Christian books, a lot of Christian articles that are written about the Bible, but what we need are people to get up and just expound the Bible. We saw that verse last week where Paul said to Timothy, "Till I come, give attendance." In other words, how should the public worship? What should take place in the public worship, Timothy? Paul says, "Timothy, till I come, give attendance to reading." That would be the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to doctrine. And so that is what we do. And any faithful Bible church needs to be true to that mission of teaching and expounding the Word of God. So look at these 3 select passages of Scripture for each of us in our lives. Ready? 1 Peter 2:2. Let's read that one out loud. It's right on your handout. Let's read it together. Begin. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby." I don't have to paint the word picture there for you. It's there. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word." Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, this is Jesus speaking. Let's read that together. Begin. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now Job 23, verse number 12. Job 23, 12, let's read it together. "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." I've got a question for you about these 3 verses, but let's pray together first. Dear Lord, please help us today. I pray that you'd help us to magnify your word. I pray that you'd help us to give it the full attention that it deserves and to be prepared to learn and grow this morning. We love you and praise you in the name of Jesus our Savior. Amen. So what is the recurring theme of these selected passages that I've given you here? I mean, they're all about the Word of God, but they clearly have a theme about them. So who's picked up on what that theme is with these verses? Yep. Spiritual nourishment. That's absolutely correct. Put that somebody else. Put that in other words. What are these verses about? So, sustenance, food. The idea of, you know, I think Job's statement right there, and especially if you know Job and what was going on in Job's life, I think Job's statement is so powerful. In his despair, in the lowest point of his life, what does Job say? He says, it's more important that I what? It's more important that I get with the words of God than that I do what? Than that I eat my food. Anybody like to eat in here? Okay. Micah, that hand was like on spring action there. Just like boom. Yeah. And so in his death, and Jesus says the same thing. Look, you need bread to eat, right? But you're not going to live by bread alone. You need the Word of God. It's the nourishment of the Word of God itself that gives us life, sustenance, and spiritual vitality. We need the words of God. Do you believe that? I mean, we need them. They give us life. How many of you, if not now, over the course of your Christian experience at different times, how many of you, and I'm not going to put you on the spot for like right now in this moment, but over looking back over the course of your Christian life, how many of you would raise your hands with me and say that you've struggled to maintain a habit of regular Bible reading in your personal life? Who's there? Who's there? Who's done that? You've struggled to maintain that habit. Okay, now everybody look around the room. All right, keep your hands up. All right, look around the room. This is a common, you can put your hands down. This is a common difficulty among most Christians. Now, is it because Christians just hate and despise the Word of God, so they say, I'm not going to read it? Of course not. Of course not. And many times, somebody will get up and probably say to you, you need to be in your Bible every single day, every single day. And what happens? You may not do it physically, but in your heart, you go like this. You know? Like, who are you going to disagree? Are you going to get up and say, no, Pastor, I disagree with that. I don't think I should be in the Bible every day. But we struggle to do that, don't we? It's something that we all go up against. And so what we're doing here at the beginning is just reminding ourselves of why it's so important. Why it's so important. How many of you think that it'd be great to read the Bible every day? Okay? How many of you think that 2 days are better than no days in the Word of God? Okay? How many of you think that 3 days are better than 2 days? Okay? How many of you would agree that one extra day would give you some extra nourishment in your life? How many of you believe that? Okay? But what happens to us? We start the new year, okay? And maybe you're like me and you start a new year and you find a Bible reading plan or something and you get on it, and then what happens? You're like a couple days into it, and what happens? What? You miss a day. You miss a day. And then what do you do? What do people do? You maybe miss another, and then eventually you do what? You're just like, I can't do this. This is too hard. I can't do it. Am I talking to things that don't happen in our lives? I mean, has anybody been there before? You start, because we treat the Bible reading, I think what happens is we treat Bible reading like an exercise plan or like a diet. You know what I mean? That's not what it is. Reading the Bible is like just going to get some nourishment. If you missed a meal yesterday, would you say, I'm such a bad eater, I'll never eat again. I just can't do this. You're like, no way. First thing I'm going to do is I'm not going to be like, and you wouldn't spend time thinking, man, I've just really failed at this food thing. I just can't do it. I tried yesterday and I meant to do it and I just can't do it. And so it's over. No, what you're going to do is you're going to be like, I don't know why I didn't eat yesterday, but I'm starving today and I'm going to get something to eat. Right? I think for some of us, if we would just treat the Word of God, if we'd almost in some ways take a little bit of the pressure off and say, you know what? I don't forget what happened yesterday. Forget what my track record is for the last, you know, 5 years or whatever. Forget what that is. I'm just going to open my Bible today and I'm going to read it today. Simple? Right? Isn't that simple? It's just a simple thing for us to do. How many of you have gone a period of time without reading the Scriptures? And what happens is you kind of get used to it, right? You can kind of go through the motions and do it all. But then all of a sudden you take a day or two and you spend time reading the Word of God. And what's your reaction usually after a couple days? You think to yourself, why have I not been doing this all along? Would you agree with that? Has that been your experience? Okay. So we all face that difficulty. So we just want to get the elephant out of the room at the very beginning and understand that we're all in the same boat, that we know we need to be more faithful, we want to be more faithful, and we fail at it a lot. But we want to be reminded of how vital it is for us and how much more spiritual life we're going to have when we are in the Word of God. So, anybody could share with us, have you found, maybe you've struggled with this and you've found something that really helps you, that really helps you be at the times that you have been consistent, and I'm not looking for somebody to, we're not going to think you're a spiritual know-it-all or anything, but maybe, and maybe you've not done it now, but you've done it in times in your life where you say, you know what, I found this really helped me be consistent in reading the Word of God. Does anybody have anything that has helped them that you might be able to share with everybody else that says, you know what, when I started doing this, I was able to read the Bible more? Yes, Jim. Okay. So that habit of setting aside just the very first part of the morning has helped you. Okay. I gotta get some other ideas, so that's good though. So that habit of the morning has helped you. All right, yeah, Frank. Is that the Daily in the Word email? So yeah, there is. I think you can go to dailyintheword.com and they'll send you an email every single day and it gives you a simple reading plan like that. I know for me, so I've got the, unfortunately, ashamed to say it, but you know, in this day and age with my job and also with my addiction, I'm on my phone all the time, right? Like probably a lot of you are. The Bible app, I'm on the Bible app right now on my phone, and if you're on your phone a lot, the Bible app will help you out. Because you can sign up for a reading plan. And there's one, like I like, I'm on a plan right now. It's, they have all these one-year plans, and this one's called the M. Shane, or I can never remember how to pronounce the guy's name, but it's M-C-H-E-Y-N-E, McShane, or whatever it is. It's a one-year reading plan. It takes me, I'm kind of a fast reader, but I figure if you go at a slow space, take 15, maybe 20 minutes, and you will read 15 or 20 minutes a day. You would read the whole Bible once, the New Testament and Psalms twice in a year. Some days, the passages are easier. They only take about 10 minutes to read. And what's cool is it'll give you every day, and you check them off as you go through it. You just check off the ones that you've done. So it gives you a reading from Genesis, from Matthew. I've got, so like a snapshot of a day. Genesis, Matthew, Ezra, and Acts. Just putting you all over the place. You're getting a little of this, a little of that. And with just a few minutes a day, you're reading and you're starting to realize, wow, this is making a big difference. So there's little things, and really I would say, and some of you it might be, you know what, that's too much. Just give me a few verses a day. There's very simple plans for that. I got to move on from this section, but we'll talk a little bit more. But finding some kind of a plan, because some of you may be newer Christians, you'd be like, I don't know what to read, you know? All of a sudden, a lot of people start reading Genesis to Exodus. Okay, it's interesting. You get to Leviticus and the unclean boil and the whiteness of the flesh, weird Levitical laws. It's like, what am I reading about, right? Not that those aren't important things to know and read, but I think you know what I mean. But to get on some kind of a plan that helps you stay on track. Even one of those little devotional books that we put out there, The Call to Glory, can give you just a little bit every single day. All right, so we see this importance in that the Bible places on how much we need the Word. Oh, one other thing that's helped. You can go on the Bible app or even on YouTube, and you can listen to people read you the Bible while you're driving in your car or while you're doing whatever. You can listen to people read it. How many of you use Audio Bible? Who uses it? Dennis? Okay. A lot of hands up. Say, you guys could have helped us out there and said that, but I... Huh? The Bible app does that. Some people... Deborah, you like the guy's voice, don't you? Oh, I do that. I do that. Time and a half. You can get a lot of Bible read at time and a half. But Travis drives a lot, right? And the guy's like, and after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them. So his voice, some people like it. Some people are a little put off by it, but it's okay. But hey, it's great. It gets you in the Word of God. It gets you in the Scriptures. Use that. All those things. And if somebody said something that sounded like it would help you, talk to them a little bit. Figure it out. But all that's going to help us because we need the Word of God. Job again, he says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But now, journey over to Matthew's Gospel. Because now we want to take just the 15 or so minutes that we have left, and we want to look at how we receive that word. Assuming we are hearing it, how do we receive it? So you can turn your notes over and you can go now to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. Oh, by the way, before we do this, okay, we also got some really awesome Bible reading plans for our kids. And they have them child level and teen level. We got them through Word of Life. Actually, the Hares introduced us to them. And Deborah, you're using the teen devotional. Right, so right now they're in the book of Hebrews, and they're reading through the book of Hebrews, and it's the devotional book gives teaching examples along with it, helps you think through the Scripture. And those are called quiet time, right? Is that quiet time diary? So you journal through the Scriptures as you do it. So my kids, they don't get to them every single day, but, well, a couple of them do. A couple of them do. My boys are really into them. They're kind of expensive, but you can buy like last year's edition or something like that if you're cheap. But talk to Deborah or Micah or Danielle, and they can show you where to get those if you want. You're interested for your kids or your teens or even for yourself. Because you use it pretty regularly, don't you? All right, we're not going to judge you guys at your maturity level or anything like that. But you like the teen one. All right. But they're good tools, and it keeps you in the Bible, and it gives you some kind of a plan. So lots of things out there. Find one. Get on it. All right. So, but now the question is, how about how we receive the Word of God? So look at Matthew 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in what? Parables. Why did Jesus use parables? We know what a parable is. We call it a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. You use something on earth to teach some spiritual truth. Why did Jesus use parables? Anybody? What's that? To be relatable. Definitely going to be part of it. That's very true. Why else? I mean, he's using physical examples that you deal with every single day. He's linking I think one reason is he's linking the physical world that we live in to show that all of our experience in life gives glory to God and is related to God. Anybody, why else he used parables? There's actually a theological reason that is going to show up here. It's counterintuitive for some of us, but he actually used parables to conceal some of his teachings. We think often that he's using the parables to make his teachings more understandable, but actually, he was using them sometimes to conceal it from the Pharisees. So the spiritual people, they could see how all of these physical examples are teaching a spiritual truth, but the Pharisees were so steeped in their religion, they couldn't even see it, and that's why Jesus would speak in parables. Very interesting. So let's read on. He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, I think we realize the sowing here is not fabric, it's sowing seed, planting seeds. He's sowing seeds. He went to plant. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus says, can you imagine? Someone goes out and he's got a bag of seeds. And he takes the seeds and he scatters the seeds over there, and he scatters them over there, and over there. Now, when he scatters them over there, they're just kind of on the wayside. And the birds can eat them. You scatter them over there, there's stony ground, and they don't have enough of depth. And you scatter some seeds over there, and the thorns and weeds tangle up. But then there's some seed that falls on good ground, and it grows. And all of us are like, wow, this is an awesome illustration. And Jesus says, and you who have ears to hear, let him hear. And they all look at Jesus, and they go, what are you talking about? They're like, what are you talking about? If you read the context, nobody knew what in the world this means. Why are you talking about this? Verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. In other words, when you become open to spiritual truth, what do you receive? Let me read that again, okay? Let's read it again. Verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Okay, so let's ask it again. When you are open and you begin to receive spiritual truth, then what happens? You understand, and then what happens? You grow. You get more spiritual growth, more understanding. But when you begin to shut down and do not receive spiritual truth, what happens? You wither. And even what you have is what? Taken away. That's really important. Wherever you progress to in your spiritual life, if you do not continue to receive the things of the Spirit of God, what happens to your spiritual vitality? Does it just stay where it is? No. There's a song that some of us grew up with. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day. You know that song? Who knows that song? Okay. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll... I can't hear you, Mrs. Bailey. And you'll grow, grow, grow. And then the next verse, don't read your Bible, forget to pray, forget to pray, forget to pray. Don't read your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll... Beautiful, beautiful. And you'll... But that's a truth from the Scripture here. Now, I think we all realize, if you miss a day of Bible reading, does that mean your spiritual vitality is just withered up on the vine? No. That's why what I'm saying is we need to just be real about this and say, you know what? I missed that. So what do I need to do now? What do I need to make sure I do now? Let's get back at it. Let's get back in the Word. But you make that a habit in your life of neglecting the Word of God. You used to come to more Bible study. Now you go to less Bible study. You used to read more Scripture. Now you read less Scripture. Jesus says if you're given and you're receiving, you're going to get more. But if you're not receiving, even what you have is going to be taken away. Now, specifically here, Now, that's the application bears out. Specifically, he's dealing with Pharisees and their attitude. Because their attitude was, they've arrived, they know it all. They didn't need to hear what Jesus said. And he's like, you're losing it all, guys. You don't understand it at all. Verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing not and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their heart is swollen, their ears are dull. Their eyes they've closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now look at verse 16. Ready? Now hopefully we can all receive this with the disciples. Ready? Verse 16. Let's read it out loud together. Begin. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And I think the disciples are encouraged by that. They're like, oh yeah, Jesus thinks highly of us. We want to hear spiritual truth. But let me give us a little encouragement from this. Guess what? They still don't really understand the parable of the sower. You read the other accounts too, and the other gospels, they still don't get it. Jesus is like, you understand. You can hear these things. And I can just imagine, maybe I'm taking a little too much liberty here, but I can just imagine they're like, yeah, we understand it. Right? You understand what he's talking about, right? We have ears to hear it. We get it, right? And they're just like, yeah. But what's so good and gracious about our Lord? He sees them for who they are going to be in him. He sees their heart. They haven't arrived where they're going to be, but they don't understand, but they hunger to understand. How many of you know there's a big difference between knowing all there is to know and just simply desiring to know it? And it's the heart that God is looking for. The heart. You don't have to know it all. And that's why what's so awesome about this is you can know one verse in the whole Bible and be closer to God than somebody who has chapters and chapters memorized. I'm not discouraging anybody from studying and learning and growing, but knowledge does not equate to the heart being in the right place. So you can be somebody who doesn't know a whole lot, but you say, but Lord, teach me. Teach me. Or you could be somebody that's like, oh, I've heard that, I know that, yeah, I'm okay. So now Jesus is gracious enough to give them the meaning of the parable. And he says in verse number 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. In other words, because I know your heart, because I know your ears are there to hear and you want to know, now I'm going to explain it to you. And what he's telling them basically, and you can read the same account in Luke chapter 8, he's teaching them that the seed is what? What is the seed going to be? It's the Word of God. And what is the different ground? The hearts of men and women. The seed is the Word. The ground are our hearts. Our hearts. Always been pointed out, the Word of God is being spread. Is there anything wrong? Is there anything wrong with the person sowing the seed? Any problem with the sower? No. Is there anything wrong with the seed? No. So that only leaves us one problem that could be. And the problem is what? The ground, the hearts of men. So, I have 5 minutes, which is not enough time to do this justice. So I'm going to finish this next week. So I'm going to give you 5 extra minutes to take a break from today. Although I guess what we could say is, take a few minutes and come up with a plan. You know, based on what we talked about, take a few minutes here at the end and come up with what are you going to do for your Bible reading if you're struggling with it? What plan could you come up with? And think about that. We'll dismiss, we'll take a break, but I'd encourage you, take a few minutes and think about what how the Lord can lead you, and maybe that you can put some time in your schedule. Maybe you can plan a little differently. And then next week, when you come back, be prepared to discuss this, because here's the direction I'm going to go with this. You find early on, and we're going to compare Luke's account too, that as the seed goes out, there is also an enemy. And the desire of the enemy is to mess up. It'd be like if you're planting your garden and somebody's coming behind you trying to mess everything up for you. There's also an enemy. That's the other variable in here. He's been the enemy of the Word of God from the beginning. And there are a series of lies. There are a series of lies, because the devil is the father of lies. There are a series of lies that cause people to either be stony ground, thorny ground, or seed by the wayside. And we're going to, next week, I want to discuss those lies, and I want us to talk about them together. And I'd love it if you would share in your life how you've dealt with that as well. So take some time this week. Spend a little time in Matthew chapter 13, Luke chapter 8, and we'll dive into the second half next week. All right, let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we do love you, and thank you for the time we have with your word. I pray that you'd help each of us to hunger and thirst for it more. Help us to make time in our schedules to be in your word and in the church services and Bible studies as much as we can as well, so that we can grow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're dismissed.